Greetings, my friends. Welcome to the next episode of the Mint Mob Podcast. Jason here, joined by my buddy Alex across the pond in Germany, and he has a pressing engagement to get to. So we're going to blaze through a podcast today so he can watch a little bit of football. How's it going, man?
Yeah, everything is great, man. I consider myself Spanish now because I need a club I can cheer for, you know, obviously. And Spain is playing against Portugal later today. I got some company coming over, and that's my plan for this evening. As you got another game coming up as well, not yourself, but the United States is playing against Belgium in a couple hours. Are you already a little nervous?
No, not nervous at all. I just hope the boys do well. And, you know, other than that, I hope that there's just a good game to watch. You know, that's really all I can hope for at this point. So,
yeah,
you know, it's
I mean, given that you guys get a president who can like give and take red cards as he wishes, maybe he's going to give Belgium a red card before the game starts.
Don't get mad because Germany didn't ask, man. You guys got robbed of a goal, and then your people just sat back and said, okay, sure. Yeah, we'll just take that. That's crazy.
Yeah, indeed. And we'll get a little bit into why the World Cup matters this month later, towards the end of the episode. But before that, we want to jump a little bit into marketplaces. We have spoken about it on Spaces a little bit already. We are currently seeing a lot of marketplaces fail. We've seen new marketplaces go live and obviously claim that they're the place for collectors. And it's interesting, right? Because I feel like the question might be, do we even need another marketplace, especially for Solana, or do we only need a better collector experience? Because like take a look at the collector experience today, especially on Solana, right? Like when you buy a piece of digital art today, What happens afterwards? Like you, of course, own it and you can watch it in your wallet. Wallets, unfortunately, feel more transactional, right? Like it feels like everything is kind of designed around traders. Like you can see charts on Phantom, you can see prices, you can see like what they try to recommend coins you can invest in. There is not a good UI for, you know, displaying NFTs. And I think even if you click on collectibles, what usually happens is that you do not even see all the pieces you own, and that has been a big issue for many collectors out there. So why do you think is the Solana space, like if you look at Phantom or the other wallet extensions or marketplaces, why do you feel like they do not really pay attention to give collectors a good user experience?
I don't think it's that they're not paying attention so much as it is. It's just, and we're in the experimental phase right now. So, you know, there's a lot of people trying a lot of different things, and some of them are going to work. Some of them are not going to work. And, you know, it's expensive. It's time consuming. And very few people can stay committed as long as it takes to, you know, to create some sort of like real breakthrough in whatever it is that they're doing. So, you know, it's not so much that they're, at least in my opinion, that they're not trying. It's just that we haven't arrived yet, and there's a long way to go. So there's opportunity in that. There's frustration in that. And, you know, those two things are never going to go away. You know, you're never going to have a market without one of the other or both. So I think it's just, you know, when you step back, right, and you look at really what's happening, we still don't have the average person participating in the marketplaces. It's still early adopters for the most part. It's primarily digital artists who don't do work outside of digital art, whereas the entire artwork community still hasn't come on board. The entire collector community of art still hasn't come on board. A lot of people still look at it suspect. So it's a really risky proposition. So, you know, from UI on down to experience to, you know, population to liquidity to interest, I mean, all of those things drive what you can and can't do with a project, and we're just not there yet. And I think that's really what it comes down to. So UI has been okay, I think, on the collector websites, not necessarily on the marketplaces. You know, they have a long way to go. But as you said, it's two different populations looking for two different things. and one of them is going to be really busy in the marketplace. You're looking at UI that's super busy, lots of, you know, like charting and volume information, you know, like technical trader information that you don't necessarily care about if you're collecting art. And so we've got this spin-off version of marketplaces that have turned into, like, you know, collector websites or artist-centric websites, and the two, you know, have sort of diverged. And, you know, they're two different experiences, and I think you're going to continue to see this happen. You know, it'll bifurcate even further. You know, it'll be different types of trading, different types of collecting, different types of sales, and all of these things will bifurcate into, like, a specific site that really does the best at one specific thing. And, you know, as populations come on, you know, as normies come in, as the market becomes more ubiquitous, that's really what I think the market's going to go to. As for now, everything is experimental, and I would just take it with a grain of salt. So for me personally, I just collect in my personal collection, and, you know, I like the artwork websites to some degree. I like the marketplaces to some degree. But when it comes to something that's like one of one, you know, like an art piece, I want to own that in my collection. And that's just how I look at it, at least from where we are right now.
Do you feel like there is like a social layer missing? I mean, when we look at X, for example, X is probably the only platform where NFT art is being shared. And like, I've always wondered whether it's actually the best place. I mean, imagine opening an app and seeing what your favorite collectors recently acquired. That's what you do on X, of course. But do you feel like it would be better to have a like a specific app that only focuses on collectors and artists? I mean, you could leave comments, you could follow collections, you could create like curated exhibitions, follow artists like you follow musicians on Spotify, and do you think X is the right place for all that?
Not necessarily. I mean, X is a place, but it is the place where it has sort of developed and evolved. But that doesn't mean that you can't start promoting in other areas, right? I mean, the truth is, I think people just have defaulted to X because that's sort of where the market sprang up. And there hasn't been a whole lot of time, energy, or effort in going other places to draw new people in. But, you know, you've played with a little bit on TikTok. You've seen a little bit of interest there. Obviously, there's other platforms that we need to explore, and we will start exploring, you know, as we continue to build out. But, you know, for now, I mean, X is the place. It is the best place because it's the only place really where it's actually, I think you could say, professionally pushed, if that's a term, right? Because most artists go there first. Some do like an Instagram, you know, they'll have an Instagram feed or what have you, but there's not a whole lot of activity happening there. And in terms of like the social layer, you know, if you want to say that matters, which I'm not really sure that it does in terms of sales, like in terms of like bringing in new sales, X is the only place where there's any interaction at all, right? Like there's really no interaction anywhere else. Like if you go to some of the art websites on Instagram, for example, it's just post after post with people just putting up their stuff, creating like a portfolio or what have you, but there's really no commerce happening there. And part of that has to do with the way the sites link. There's not really a good way to link from Instagram. So, you know, I mean, X right now is the place. That doesn't mean it's going to always be the place, and certainly wouldn't be where I would like long-term think would be the only place, especially with the popularity of, like, you know, TikTok, as you've played with before, and we've done a little experimenting there. But, you know, as linking gets more ubiquitous and the market starts to grow and get more ubiquitous across social platforms, I think, you know, having a presence in those places to at least drive traffic to a funnel where you can make an attempt to sell something is really, really smart. Right now, the only funnel that exists is, you know, post this on X and post a link and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's true. And it's interesting you mentioned TikTok. As you said, I played around with it a little bit. And for those of you who don't know, and you probably don't know because we have never spoken about that before, there is a Goodfellas account on TikTok. And I just posted some of the work in progress videos on there to see the feedback we'd get. And it was actually a lot more than I expected. I think we got like on average on like 4,000 or 5,000 clicks, we got like 300 likes and comments of people who were like, hey, did you get like the artist's permission to drop the art here? And that was pretty interesting to see, right? Like people have that kind of, they got that on their radar, right? Like there is a lot of stuff being stolen in this space and people share art when they do not have the rights to it. And that was good to see. But on the other hand, I also received DMs of people who were like, hey, can you check out my art as well? I received some art from a really, really young guy, I think, who wants to draw comics. And whenever people were interested in owning art, I felt like if I want to explain them now what to do, there is no easy point of entry. Like, what should I explain them first? Like when I speak about art, I'd always try to avoid the term NFT because, you know, that kind of scares people and, you know, rather causes them to run away. But when I speak about digital collectibles, digital art, and, you know, I want to explain to them like, hey, what do you need to do in order to own one of those pieces? And I need to, you know, start speaking about crypto and Solana, and you need to download a wallet, you need to go to Binance or Coinbase and buy those coins and then transfer them into the wallet. And then you need to connect your wallet to that particular marketplace or get on allow lists, and you'll find a way to mint like one day. It's like it's still not easy for people, right? And I feel like this is something where we need to work on to make things easier, because, you know, if you have no interest in you know, making transactions with crypto, then it's hard to convince you to try to buy digital art. Or what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you can't still, you know, you can't sell steak to vegans, right? So, I mean, on some level, people have to want the stuff, right? That's just common sense. And so, I mean, the social media is not really, what's the best way to put it? Like, social media is not really a great way to generate sales if you're an artist looking to sell your stuff, because what you're doing is you're throwing a broadcast out to the world and you're hoping for the best. You're not really able to control it. You're not really able to post exactly how you would want an ad type, editorial type ad to look, because it has to fit within the guidelines of the way the text looks on a specific platform. Headlines, for example, are different. A lot of times on social media, the image becomes your headline because you really can't post a headline. And so if you're a copywriter coming into this and looking at how you want to market this stuff, it's like, well, I'm really limited here. So really what you want social media to do is tell the story of what you're doing and then use like paid ads or, you know, like paid support to drive people into your world and let them sort of bounce around in your world a little bit, see what's going on here, see what's going on there, see what you're all about. And then that's the job of social media, sort of fill in some of the gaps that you can't really fill in with ads or with like a paid service. So, I mean, as with anything, like paying to get your message out there is going to be the difference between success and failure for most people. And a lot of people just simply aren't willing to do that. So, you know, you default to the free social media type stuff, and then it turns into what we've seen on X, which is just a bunch of people who basically interact with one another in a very limited manner. It's GM this or GN that, or, you know, have a good day this or have a good day that, but just, there's not really any depth there. So I think ultimately the social aspect of it needs to go deeper. And if you are a good storyteller with video and you're willing to be in front of a camera, or you're willing to write at length about what it is you're doing, or do long form podcasts or spaces where you explain to people what you're doing, this is where people really get to know you and will develop more trust in what you're doing and start to have more of an affinity toward wanting to buy what you're doing. But paid ads can get them into that situation. So you want to bring them in using something that you control and then let them bounce around a little bit. You know, hopefully you get them on some sort of list that you own and control and you can drip on them, you know, whether it's emails or texts or something to that effect. But you need to get them someplace where, like, if you're trying to sell something where you can actually get your message to them, and social media it's not the place to do that, because so many people are going to miss what you do. Like, you know, maybe 3% of the people that, you know, are in your timeline or on your followers list, maybe even less, will even see or interact with what you do. So it's a very uncontrolled, limited way of doing it, and no marketer worth their salt would actually rely on that specifically for their results. They're going to do something that they have control of, something that they can track, something that they can control, just like any other business would, right? Like if you have sales of products, you're going to want to know which products sell the best. What shirt sizes, if you're selling tees, which sizes do you need to have more on hand? Which sizes are least popular? These are the types of things you need to know to operate effectively. And from a messaging standpoint, it's even more important because the market is so noisy. Like every single person can jump on there and say anything or post anything. It's just constant noise all the time. So you really need to have a something that's going to actually drive traffic to something that you own and control. And I saw someone doing this on X. The way to do it on X is kind of funny, is to kind of make everything secret, I saw another group of people doing yet another secret drop. Everything's a secret. And all this does is pique interest, right? And if you follow us and then you follow this account, you can learn what the secret is, kind of a thing, right? And that works to a certain degree because you're in a marketplace where you can't really capture people per se without generating some sort of FOMO. And not knowing what the secret is generates some FOMO. So if you use FOMO to drive people to a X community where you have more control of the messaging there, even though you still don't have 100% of the control, you still have some control over who sees what. You can make it private and you can gate who comes in. You can do the same thing with chats. So people are already doing the list building thing anyway that we've talked about. They're just doing it in a different way. And they're doing it in a way that's less effective than just having an email or having a text messaging type service that does it for you. And the market just hasn't gotten there yet. Again, we're talking about how experimental the space is. And, when you're in an experimental space, you can do stuff like, hey, I have a secret. Do you want to see it? But when the market is ubiquitous, that's not going to work. It's going to have to be what's your value provision? And it does it interest me, not am I going to miss out? Right? Because early adopters are always afraid they're going to miss out, but not everyone else is.
Yeah, I get that. I haven't seen that one project that you mentioned, but I feel like, even if you have that kind of marketing and you want to sell your big secret and you need to follow us in order to find out, but that only attracts the degens in the space that are here anyway, right? But I'm still wondering what the best way would be to actually get people in here into the space who are not familiar with crypto at all. Because I feel like you basically have two options, right? Either your art has to be so exceptional that people want it badly enough to go through the hassle of learning crypto just to own it, or you lower the barrier to entry and make acquiring digital art as simple and seamless as possible. So I felt when I've think about the future of digital art, I feel like there needs to be an app where you can simply enjoy the pieces you own without even realizing crypto is involved. The blockchain should work quietly in the background. That whatever you own is actually a one of one and it proves ownership. But as a collector, all you should experience is a beautiful gallery, like an intuitive interface, and everything is effortless to discover, display. And you can just appreciate it, right? The best blockchain experience is the one where you barely notice the blockchain at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that's easy to build or not.
Definitely not easy to build. Nothing is really easy to build on blockchain because, again, the programs that live on chain, testing them and uploading them constantly. You have to realize once something goes on chain and it's immutable, it's no longer usable at that point. So the slightest little change creates an issue. So whether, you had mentioned this off mic, whether you're using AI tools to help write code or what have you, you still have to test, you still have to do all the UI work. Obviously you can test locally, that still bears a cost. You're still going to have some sort of RPC costs. You're still going to have time invested, and all of the stuff that you want to do, obviously, on your first draft is never going to be right once it goes live. So, once it faces a user and the user gets in there and starts playing with stuff and breaking things, you're going to find, oh man, this UI is not really what I want it to be, or this UI needs to be upgraded, or whatever the case may be. So it's not easy. I mean, and then when the code is up versus the code being locally tested, I mean, every time you do this, it bears a cost, another cost, another cost, another cost, right? So, I mean, blockchain is just one of those things where it's very difficult to like seamlessly code locally, have it, you know, deployed publicly and used publicly in a manner that's very quick and efficient. There's nothing about like dropping code on blockchain that's efficient. And in fact, it makes you wonder how much code you actually want to have on the blockchain, because once it's there, again, once that contract is there and that contract is immutable, there's nothing you can do other than replace it. So you're just constantly pointing your code to a new contract, or, you know, maybe if you have an immutable contract, you can do some updates. But even with all of this, it's just so convoluted. It's just layer on top of layer on top of layer on top of layer. So, you know, from coding locally to coding, you know, like server apps to coding apps that live on a blockchain that you touch or you have a UI for, it's just a very different animal. And I don't think people take into account the fact that all of these different things have to work together. They have to touch one another, and the connections have to be reliable from RPC all the way down. So many breaks, so many potential failures in there. So there's nothing about it that's easy at this point. But yeah, you're right. In the future, that won't be the case. You know, it'll be much, much simpler. And the AI tools are getting better. Like you can code a lot with AI tools. So, you know, we'll see what comes down the line, but that's definitely something that we'll be doing in the future, you know, creating more UI and more collector-centric type apps that do live on chain. And the reason that they, a lot of times, the reason that they have to live on chain is like, if you want to monetize a thing, let's say, for example, you sent me an app and it's maybe a sales app for, or maybe it's an art marketplace and there's a sales app that you have to go through to acquire a piece. Well, you're going to want an on-chain code to take the payment, because the on-chain code would then divide it up and say, okay, well, this percentage goes to the platform for platform fees. This percentage goes to the artist, you know, or this percentage goes to, you know, royalties, depending on, you know, if it's secondary sales or whatever the case may be. It's going to be an on-chain code that breaks all that stuff up, right? So it makes it very difficult, and you really have to make sure that you've planned step by step by step all the way through, and that everything's tested 100%. And these are things that you wouldn't traditionally have to contend with if you're doing something that, you know, was web-based and lived on a server like Apache or IISS, you know, something like that. So it's just different, but it's definitely not something that you could just pick up and randomly go, yeah, do this, and the code's just going to, or the AI is going to sit there and do it for you. You have to understand the architecture. And then once you have an understanding of the architecture, you can prompt the code properly, and you can get, you know, you can get AI to do a lot of it for you for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it feels like blockchain's biggest benefit or advantage is also its biggest challenge. And I mean, given that you cannot really like just simply update an application, instead you have to almost like fully rebuild or re-upload it, is definitely quite a challenge. But yeah, as I said, AI is improving. So many people are building apps and create code, and, you know, without having to basically study it. I see so many people actually building tools for their businesses just using Grok, or a Claude is pretty good at coding as well, and that's good to see. I feel like you know, with AI improving, we can have a lot of great apps in the future, and can't wait to see all that happen on Solana as well. But yeah, I mentioned in the very beginning that the World Cup would play a role in the Goodfellas ecosystem as well, and Jason made a post just yesterday, and he mentioned that there are many mints coming up this July, and of course we want to update you guys on what's going on in the upcoming weeks. So we do have a couple of drops lined up for you guys. The first of those drops is going to be the NFT NYC pieces. You've already seen them, you've already claimed them, and we've already announced that we will have those pieces inside our 21s collection as well. So those pieces will be dropped this month. Then we will have special. You may announce the other pieces because you got in touch with Maria. So go ahead, man.
Well, which pieces are you referring to? The World Cup pieces?
Yeah, the World Cup pieces, exactly.
Well, we hope to have some more World Cup pieces. We're going to have a World Cup piece dropping, obviously, in honor of the Cup this year. Excuse me. Obviously, the U.S. is hosting. North America is playing host. The U.S. is hosting a lot of the games. The U.S. team's doing pretty good. They've got a game today. We'll see if they win. But regardless of that, we wanted to celebrate what's going on because the world is really being brought together by the event. So I've reached out to Maria, who many of you guys know from the Muse Portraits world, and she has agreed to do some pieces in her style for the World Cup. And so we've got the first one, and I think Alex and I are both really excited about the way it came out. It's really, really beautiful. It's actually a little bit different from what you've seen from Maria in the past, and I think you guys are really going to love it. So we're going to drop a piece this Friday that's going to be a World Cup special. And it's going to basically celebrate the U.S. hosting the event, and it's going to reference basically the U.S. national team. So excited to get those pieces out, and I'm hitting her up for a few more, some of the other major teams from other continents, and hopefully she can have time to put those together for us. But this Friday, we're going to have a double. We're going to have the 21s. I'm sorry, we're going to have the 21s drop from one of the NFT NYC pieces. And then we're going to have Maria's piece that's celebrating the U.S. national team with the jersey and the World Cup and all that. And we're even going to have a variant of it. So pretty excited to have that. And I think Alex is going to put a calendar together for you guys on everything that we've got going. So this month is going to be lots and lots and lots of mints coming out. Just tons of stuff, guys. We actually have a backlog of mints that we need to get to. Some 21s pieces, some AI pieces, and then, of course, the Arttober Pass pieces. And all of this stuff is coming down the line. So I think we're at least a month, maybe 2 months deep in terms of like weekly mints if we just did mints on Fridays. So we might even double up a couple times here and there. So lots of stuff coming your way. And yeah, so keep an eye peeled for the schedule that's going to get posted in Discord.
Yeah, absolutely. By the time you're listening to this here, the schedule should be up already. So make sure to check out the Big News channel. And on top of that, we will have an artist incubator drop this month of an artist some of you guys already own a couple of pieces from. So I know that many of you hoped for one of his pieces or her. I'm not like, I don't want it to take too much away. And many of you wanted to have that particular artist inside our little art gallery in the artist incubator. This is happening this month as well, so really looking forward to this. I really like the piece. I just saw it. Really cool, really unique art style. And I know it's crazy, whenever we have an artist incubator drop, and Jason, you know that, the one thing I always say is the piece we are having is unlike any other piece we've had so far. And it's funny because this time, like, it's probably can you, like, when you say true, you cannot like say truer, right? Truer doesn't make sense, because if something is true, it's true. But yeah, this applies to this drop 100%. And we've never had a piece like this in that particular art style. It's very special. I know you love the art style, and I can't wait for the drop. And kudos to you. I know you reached out to the artist, and yeah, we got the piece. It's pretty cool. What do you think about it?
Yeah, man, I'm stoked. I mean, I think we've got a lot of fun drops coming up. You know, we've got the World Cup. Hopefully we can get a couple extra pieces. I'm just waiting to hear back from Maria.
Yeah.
And it's going to kind of come down to what her time frame is. But we've got another artist that's really popular in the community as well. The guy from Alien Buddy Buds, which I know some of you guys are already collecting that collection. We've got some tributes coming from him. We've got the NFT NYC stuff. We've got two artists that Alex has already lined up who've already submitted pieces that are absolutely gorgeous. What else? We've got at least one work in progress, maybe two work in progress videos to get to you guys. two Diptych pieces in addition to this. So, I mean, there's just a ton of stuff coming out, guys. Like, and all of it, you know, I mean, we're doing our level best to give you guys, you know, high quality work every chance we get. So all of it's coming down the line. And of course, Alex and I have a ton of work to do, both, you know, on X and Discord and all the rest of it. Is very hard to keep track with time frames and having so many mints. So, you know, just bear with us on that. And then of course, you know, as we mentioned before, building funnels and wanting to expand the brand and getting to paid stuff, paid ads. And of course, you know, stacking onto the apps and then ultimately marketplaces and the rest of it. We just have a ton of stuff to do, guys, and we're stoked to get it out. And I hope you guys actually love it as much as we do. So the artwork is just the beginning of it. And I appreciate every single one of you guys who've really taken the time to, you know, dive into the community and help one another. Like, one of the things that was really cool to see on the timeline today was, you know, bosses helping bosses, you know, swapping pieces. You know, Maria had a birthday. Maria has been part of our community for a long time. You guys are sending her birthday gifts in the form of NFTs, you know, stuff like this, man. I just love seeing it. So, yeah, I think, when it's all said and done, July, August, these months are going to be some of our finest months for mints, like ever. So just definitely stay alert because there's going to be a lot coming your way.
Yeah, thanks for leaking the artist, man. Wanted to keep it under wraps a little longer and build some anticipation. You took that opportunity away from me. I'm a little mad. I'm praying United States loses against Belgium now. But yeah, as you guys heard it, and Alien Body Buds guy is going to drop a piece. It's really, really cool. And like I said, the art is really unique. And I think we are all really, really happy to finally get an alien into the Artist Incubator Gallery. It's a really, really cool one, and I think you guys are going to love it. And that being said, a lot to come this July. And yeah, I'll get the calendar out now, the schedule, so you guys know when which mints are going to happen. And of course, we'll be live on Friday. Make sure to bookmark the link. I'll drop it tomorrow into the Discord. And yeah, hope you guys have an amazing week. We'll see you guys on Friday. Thank you for listening in. And see you guys next time. Bye bye.
Take care, guys.